This is the best of BYU Sports Nation. Interviews and insight from this week in Cougar sports. Every Saturday, only on BYU Radio. To lead off, here's the double coverage interview of the week.
BYU can be very, very good, especially with the defense that they have coming back.
They have enough pieces in place that can get the starter prepared and ready to go by game one.
We're so solid defensively with what we have coming back, and there are so many weapons on offense.
They have guys that can make plays.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan, and joining us now is our good friend Uncle B, dual threat analyst for football and basketball. He is Blaine Fowler. He is also a national champion. Blaine, it's almost football time, my friend. How you feeling?
Almost. It is football time. I'm feeling great about it. I've been stoked this since the beginning of this week, since yesterday, just thinking, wait a minute. It starts. There's an NFL game this week, you guys. It's football season. Let's just admit that it already is football season.
The Hall of Fame game is the worst game that is played all year. But we all tune in for the first couple series and then go, I don't know who any of these guys are, so I'm out. But you're right. We have arrived. The players report today. They practice tomorrow. We want to ask you our question of the day. With football reporting and practicing tomorrow, basketball, they have summer training camp going on as we speak as well. Which season are you most excited about with BYU football or men's basketball?
I'm a guy that lives in the present, so I'm most excited about football right now.
Oh, and the quarterback says football.
And you know what? I can multitask. You guys know this. So it doesn't mean that I'm not going to slip over to practice for basketball every once in a while.
Brenda said otherwise, by the way.
Yes, I know. She says I don't, you know, she says men in general can't multitask, but she's underrating my skills. So I will drop in and keep track of basketball. Absolutely, for sure. But it's time to focus on football right now. And I kind of love the fact that with Jake leaving, everybody is underestimating BYU again, right? They're all of a sudden, Kalani's going to be able to start today, because one of the first things they do, they meet as an entire team, and Kalani talks to the team about culture and where they're going and sets the tone for the entire season, sets the vision for what he sees. And I guarantee you he's going to put a giant chip right on their shoulder again, like he did last year, that nobody's respecting you again. Nobody thinks you can do it. That seemed to be a good formula to get this team up for every game last year. And I think they start in a similar situation where everybody underestimates how good they can be, which surprises me because I think they're going to be very good.
Blaine Fowler is on BYU Sports Nation. Of course, he is a quarterback and a winning one at that. As you look at the current situation for BYU, from the outside, it's hard not to think, oh, man, BYU might struggle early because they have, of the three quarterbacks trying to win the starting position, 12 combined starts. So, Blaine, why are you choosing not to panic over the quarterback situation with the departure of Jake Retzlaff?
Well, two reasons. I've seen all of these guys throw, especially the two that have already been in the program, Trayson and McKay. I've watched enough film on Bear to know that he's also a very capable player. So they all have the skill set to be able to play. And I'm not concerned mostly because of the talent that surrounds these guys as they step into being a first-time starter at BYU. For McKay and for Trayson, not necessarily a first-time starter ever in college football because they've started some games at the G4 level. But there's so much talent around them. I think that all they're going to be asked to do, whoever it is to manage the game, to get the ball to playmakers, to make good decisions. When in doubt, throw the ball away or get down, punt the ball and come back and play on the next series. Because not only is there a tremendous amount of talent on offense, this defense will be good enough to keep them in every single solitary game. So there's nothing wrong with playing field position football, punting the ball, letting the defense get a stop and giving you the ball back in good field position. Because they're not going to be asked to do too much and not carry this football team, I'm okay with a young, talented guy playing that doesn't have a ton of experience. And I hate to always go, hey, when I played, but in 1984, we were talking about the same things. Well, Steve Young's gone. And it wasn't Jake Retzlaff going. It was Steve Young going, right? One of the best players in college football going to play professional football. And there were a lot of questions. But they weren't asking Robbie when he ended up being the guy, or if I had gotten in, to carry the team. They knew that there was so much talent at wide receiver with Mark Bellini and Adam Haysbert and Glenn Kozlowski, David Mills at tight end, Lakeje Mooley. But most importantly, a really solid offensive line in front. So all they needed either of us to do, all they were asking Robbie to do when he was named the starter, was take care of the football, be smart, and manage games, which he did marvelously. And we end up winning a national championship. And so it's a similar situation. There's a ton of talent. It's a similar situation to when Max Hall was a sophomore with a ton of talent around him. And Max has talked about that on your show. So that's why I'm not that concerned. One of these guys will step up in fall camp and prove that they can take care of the football and manage the game. And that's all they need to do this season.
Bunch of follow-ups, because that was really good. I agree with you on what will be asked of them. There will be moments, like Jake Retzlaff was asked to make clutch plays, move BYU down the field, give Will Farron a game-winning field goal opportunity, or go get a touchdown in a clutch situation. Which of those guys is best suited to make that kind of drive right now?
It's kind of hard to say. I think if you had to start somebody today, you'd probably start McKay. And the only reason is he's so athletic and has the ability. If you've got a third down and seven play in that drive and everything's covered downfield and you need somebody to just kind of take off and make a play with their feet, he's probably the most likely to tuck the ball under and not only get you 7 yards. He's got the kind of explosiveness with his feet that he might take it to the house. He might go 50 yards for a touchdown. And so he gives you that. Now, I think it's going to go through fall camp, and the guy that's going to get the job is going to be the one that can prove that they can play with the processing speed necessary to be a Division I Power 4 quarterback, meaning I can make the reads, I'll understand who's open as they're coming out of the break, and I'll hit them coming out of the break. I'm not going to hold on to the football, which leads to turnovers. I'm not going to make bad decisions, which leads to turnovers. So I think over the next 10 practices, that's what A-Rod's looking for, is who is going to consistently do that. And that's probably the guy in the clutch, because, again, it's not going to be – they shouldn't have to rely on McKay running to make a play. You got Chase Roberts out there. If he has one-on-one, you can probably throw it to him even if he's covered and count on him to bring the ball down. I think you have people that can run away from folks and Parker Kingston. JoJo Phillips can go up and just moss somebody when you need him. So even when things are tight, you got playmakers that if you put the ball in a good spot and make a decent decision, not throw it into double coverage or into zone, even with one-on-one coverage when everybody's covered, there's guys out there that can make the play if you put the ball in a decent spot. That's what they're looking for out of these guys. I wish they were going into fall camp with a guy that they felt the best about and they just needed him to prove it. But neither McKay or Trayson in spring ball took a chokehold on the number two spot. And that's a problem. I think we're not kidding when we say even A-Rod doesn't know who the guy is right now. This is a true quarterback competition, and you throw Bear into that. All three of them are going to get reps, equal reps. They're going to be sure that one guy doesn't face the first D and the other guy face the second. They're going to get him equal reps against the first D, the second D, the third D. And they're going to keep a scorecard, and the best guy's going to come out of it. I can't remember the last time we went into a fall camp where we really had no idea who the guy is. And I can't say that I do, and I don't think that A-Rod does right now.
Yeah, fall's crazy, especially with three. Two, maybe. We had Taysom Hill, Tanner Mangum.
Right.
Even Zach Wilson, Tanner Mangum a little bit. Last year, Jake Retzlaff, Gary Bohannon. They didn't tell us till game day, but we'll see, man.
Yeah, there is a case for any of the three, Blaine, as we look at this trio of quarterbacks. I do want to ask a quick follow-up on McKay, because he's listed at 5'10", 190 pounds, and some of his teammates have said, ha, 5'10 in cleats. How much is that a concern? Because you talked about the great arm he has. He throws a great deep ball. He's obviously mobile, and he kind of plays like Mighty Mouse, one of his teammates said. So how much is his size behind that huge offensive line a concern if he is the guy?
If he ends up being the guy, I think that A-Rod has to be pretty creative and tailor the offense to him. I think back to Noah Fifita's freshman season at Arizona and what they did. And remember, that offense coordinator left and moved on to a bigger program. And then he kind of started over the next year, and Noah was not nearly as effective. That freshman year, they actually let him take the snap and shotgun a couple yards further back than you traditionally do. They let him drop back from there. There were times that his launch point to throw the football was 14 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Whoa.
And they moved him around a bunch. And they involved him in the run game. And they knew that Noah's like 5'9", right? But they knew he had this gigantic cannon arm, and he had a penchant for making plays. And he also had McMillan out on the outside. That's a guy that we, you know, that exactly helps. What I'm talking about. If he's covered, who cares? If he's got one guy on him, he's open, right? And BYU has a couple of those this year. So they tailored the offense to make sure that he could see. When your launch point is a little bit deeper, the defensive ends have to go upfield a little bit more. That creates that throwing lane in between the tackles and the ends, or that escape lane in between the tackles and the ends. Gets them a little bit further back and lets them see. So there are some little things that you can do that Oklahoma did with Kyler Murray that they do with him in the NFL right now. He's not any taller than 5'10". I can tell you that right now. And so there are ways that you can help a quarterback at that height. And if he's skilled enough and he's dynamic enough, it's worth making some slight changes and putting some wrinkles in that give him a better chance to have success. Because him 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage, standing in the pocket, trying to see over 6'7", 6'6", 6'6", 6'6". Hey, Bruce Mitchell's the midget at 6'4". On that offensive line, right? So it's a giant group up there, and there's a bunch of big D linemen coming at you. And I don't care if you're 6'2", it's not easy to see. And so you have to do some things to put him in a situation to have success and to win. And I think you can do that. He's so dynamic, and you'll determine if he's a good enough decision maker that you can take advantage of that dynamic ability he has with his feet. If he's not the best decision maker, he won't be the guy. Because I think the number one priority is who's the best decision maker and can throw the ball accurately on time. That's what they're looking for. That's the number one thing. Once you've established that, okay, this guy can do that, then you start to look at this guy can make more big plays. This guy can do this. This guy can do that. Until you establish that baseline that I can read the defense, I can get it on time to the right guys in the right spots, then you're not even in the conversation. So that's the thing that comes first, and that's what they're evaluating in these first few days.
He did an interview with Coug Connect where he said it's more about passing lanes, like where I can see through the line. Because if you think about it, there's not been a single BYU quarterback that's been taller than the tackles. So, of course, they're not going to see over them. No one's 6'9", looking over Andrew Gentry at 6'8", or whatever, or Caleb Etienne. So that was interesting. Okay, Bear Bachmeyer is the interesting wild card here. Play spring ball at Stanford, transfers here. Is there any shot he is the actual starting quarterback against Portland State?
I think that they probably give McKay and Trayson a little bit of a head start here, where they do have a head start because they've been in this offense, understand it longer. And if we go back to what I just said, it's about processing speed and getting the ball out on time. He's at a little bit of a disadvantage from a physical skill set. He's probably the best guy. They have the combination. He's a big, strong dude that can make every throw. When you see him run around, think Tim Tebow, like big dude, making people miss, running over guys. Seems to be fairly durable. They ran him a bunch in high school. So he's got a complete skill set. He's probably got the most upside. But the bottom line is that he's going to have to show them in the first 4 days that he is a really quick study and that he can grasp this offense, run the whole offense, and get the ball out on time to the right people. If he can do that, let's say in the first 10 days they start to go, whoa, this kid is unexpectedly way ahead of the curve in terms of learning. And we know, like, that family is a bright family. He's got a brother that played quarterback at Boise State, beat BYU. Tiger's just notoriously crazy smart. Bear comes in with a reputation that academically, like, he's a really, really smart kid, right? So if all of a sudden he's way ahead of the normal curve, now you start to say, okay, if he's as good as these guys at processing speed and getting the ball out, his upside is a lot more. Maybe we should consider playing this kid as a freshman right now. But he's got to prove that first. And so I think in the first 5 days, a lot will, you know, A-Rod will go, okay, this kid is crazy bright and he's smarter than anybody we've had in a long time. Maybe we can play him as a freshman. He'd have to prove that really fast to really be in the mix.
Blaine, we always appreciate your insights and the way that you can paint the picture on the field, my friend. We hope that you'll do it again with us soon.
Of course. Let's do it. In fact, are one of you guys hosting with me on Thursday?
I think it's Jerem.
Jerem!
I know, so that's news to me.
Yeah, so you and I together on Thursday. So it won't be long. I'll be back with you in 2 days. And don't forget to watch AFR tonight, everybody.
The touchdown show.
It's a feel-good show. It's just all about touchdowns. And mm-hmm. there were a lot more of them on this show than our show last year when we did the year before. So that's more fun.
Seven non-offensive touchdowns to show. Which
Come
is
on.
Fun.
It's so fun. So fun. All right, guys.
Great stuff, Blaine. You. Thank you. Blaine Fowler, Uncle B on BYU Sports Nation.
Great insight, always. If you miss any interviews, shows, D-Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com or download the free BYU TV app to get all the Spencer Linton, BYU content you can watch.
After the break, we'll update you on Cougars representing Team USA.
Let's go!
And which former Coug had an all-time shot on the golf course over the weekend? This is BYUSN.
Zacharias, you dog.
That was one of our favorite interviews this week. You're listening to the best of BYU Sports Nation. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio.
Sports Nation continues live from Studio B, and we have moved over to the big wall because we have a big conversation forthcoming. That of the pre-training camp awards.
No one else has given these out, I don't think.
We have seven different categories, and let's go ahead and start right at the top, Jerem. The BYU football training camp MVP in 2025 will be who?
Whoever the quarterback is. they won't name who it's going to be, but we have some AI imagery. Don't look too close. You start to see it gets weird, but that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
What is BXU?
I don't know. That's an alternate version of BYU, I guess. BYU Idaho's like, we'll take that.
This is Star Wars language down here.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that a defensive player can win MVP very easily because they don't full-on tackle, Spence. If they did, then Isaiah Glasker or Jack Kelly would probably win it. I think it would be a guy like Chase Roberts. Now, my dark horse is one of the kind of next crew of receivers, like a Reggie Frischneck or a Tay Nakua type, maybe even Cody Hagan, who will make plays. Because you need highlights to be remembered. And so what sticks out at fall camp typically? Offense.
Mm. Well, I'm leaning on an offensive player, and I'm leaning on the guy I feel like the quarterback will have to lean on for training camp and much of the season. That is LJ Martin.
I just don't think when they're just thudding a lot, they're not full-on tackle. That we don't get to see the actual run.
Mm.
So I think it's hard for him to sort of.
Can he do enough? Can he have enough breakaway runs?
Well, yes, because they're not going to tackle. They're going to thud.
I think also he'll look the part, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. He looks bigger and stronger, and he says he's faster than he's ever been in his time at BYU.
Love that.
So that will play into it a little bit, how he's perceived just from reporter to person, like, oh, LJ Martin looks the part. That also feeds into the psyche of this. So
yep.
I hope he is the MVP. I hope he's so good in camp and the coaches are talking about him because BYU is going to need to rely on him a lot.
Yeah, so whoever wins will get this AI-generated trophy. Congratulations.
BXU.
<to them. laughs> Okay, game-ready shape guy who looks the part, as you just mentioned.
I'm going with the Renaissance man, Jack Kelly, the BMX bike rider, late night hooper,
mustachioed,
incredible vertical leaper. Just that dude will show up day one and people will feel like he is physically imposing.
He just won't pop because he always looks like this. He didn't suddenly probably put it. Oh, nice. Nice. Just get in the weight room. At least it's BYU this time.
Kind of looks like Isaiah Glasker.
It kind of does look Isaiah. It's a veiny Isaiah Glasker right there.
Yes, you're right. Jack always does look the part, but I'm going with consistency there.
Okay.
Like, he's game ready now. Game shape ready right now.
Oh, we know that.
Doesn't need training camp. He's already there.
Give me Mori Bamba.
Ooh.
Tall, long, fast corner who is strong, who can do it all.
Okay.
Mori Bamba.
Okay.
One of the fastest guys on the team.
Okay, the next, I love this one. Okay, our third category.
I remember creating this
yes,
one.
Yes, this is a Jerem Jordan creation. The, and I quote, oh yeah, that guy award, okay? Suggesting somebody you may have forgotten that is on the roster.
Number 32, fittingly Dennis Pitta's number. Oh yeah, that guy. I'm actually going to go off the board just a touch here of where you think I'm going.
Okay.
I think it's going to be Will Ferentz.
Oh!
Because, yes, we love and know Will Ferentz legit, but we're going to be watching the offense and defense and suddenly go, oh, yeah, there's an All-American right there.
Yeah, BYU has an All-American kicker.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that All-American guy.
Okay, I like that.
Because we don't watch them kick a ton.
Like that line of thinking.
Yes.
I'm going to give you somebody who caught a touchdown pass in 2022, Jerem. And we were all
Ethan Erickson!
We were all very excited about
yes!
Ethan Erickson is still on this team.
Yes, he is. Coming off a foot injury. He's
another,
healthy now.
And he has been beleaguered by injuries. He just yep. hasn't been able to stay on the field. It's been a run of bad luck. But I talked to him, he's like, no, the karma wheel's coming back around. I feel like I can contribute. Carson Ryan's the clear
He's tight end
leader.
Tight end two.
Ethan feels like he can be that guy.
I like that.
And if he can stay healthy, I think he should be. But, yeah, he's still on the team. Oh, yeah, that guy.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Most improved player.
Ooh. I hinted at this earlier. I think Siale Acera deserves that nod.
That's a good one.
Siale
I like that one a lot.
Is a great player, and he did some nice things late in the season when he was granted a bigger opportunity.
Even as a freshman. That pick against TCU.
Yes.
I love. Yep.
Yes. He's thrived in his limited moments, but based on what the coaches are saying, what I have seen, my own interactions with Siale,
He was on the cruise.
I feel like he is the most improved player for BYU, and that's saying yeah. something. We thought he was good. I think he's great now.
And let's be honest, your junior year is really when you pop. If you do something as a freshman and sophomore, that's pretty notable. It takes people a long time. As an offensive lineman, it takes 3 or 4 years sometimes, which is crazy. But linebacker, sure. Now's the time for Siale. Give me Cody Hagan, off the radar receiver, big time Utah Gatorade player of the year out of high school at Corner Canyon.
Yeah.
Mission, kind of special teamer last year, had 3 catches for 29. I think he's going to be in the 10 to 20 catch space and have 200 plus receiving yards. He's going to be kind of option 4, 5, 6 at receiver.
I feel like
maybe
Cody
special
Hagan,
teamer too, kick return.
I love the comparison to Gunnar Romney. I think he is that guy for BYU.
I like that a lot. Gunnar was a little taller, and Cody's faster.
Yes, but same type
Similar,
of
but
very
different.
Technical
yeah.
receiver, great hands. I'm excited to see what Cody Hagan can become. Greg Wrubell talked about, can Hagan emerge as the number 3 or number 4 receiver for
yeah.
BYU football?
And don't forget about kick return is open.
In training, yes, he with his speed.
Yep.
Yeah, great point. All right, on to the top freshman of BYU football training
I'll
camp.
Give you my top one, but I've got like 5 dudes I'm
I have
talk
one on
about.
Defense and one on offense.
Okay. Give me Nakitu Okoye, potentially getting some reps as a backup guy at middle linebacker for Siale, potentially. Now, Brian Strother might be like, hey, I'm right here too, but they love Naki. Redshirted last year, kid from Oakland.
Yes.
They're stoked about him.
Listen, Naki was one of the top prospects in the entire state of California.
Big time.
The recruiting list, like the offers that he had, he's a legitimate 4-star player for BYU. I feel like he's
overcome a ton.
He's almost a forgotten commodity.
But not here.
No, we are casting a light on Nakitu Okoye. I agree with you. Like this is the first time we have like clear agreement. Nakitu Okoye on the BYU defense, I feel like, is the top freshman. I'm gonna give some love to LaMason Waller.
Okay, wide receiver.
He made some noise in spring football. Fessy Satake was high on what LaMason brings. I think that he's a guy that with the second or third team reps he gets, he's going to make some plays, and people will be talking about what he could do for BYU.
Other guys I want to bring up, Hunter Clegg, big-time get off a mission.
Off a mission.
Went to Armenia, by the way, Georgia. Cool stories from him about his mission there.
Yeah, don't say, I went to Georgia on my mission.
Yeah, it's well, like, oh, not that Georgia.
The other Georgia.
Tucker Kelleher, tight end, inline guy, can flex out. And then Andrew Williams at offensive tackle. I don't think he'll get a ton of reps, but that's a name in the future.
Okay.
He's a potential starting left tackle in a couple years for BYU.
Let's keep it Exciting. Rolling with the leadership award.
Yeah, I split this offense defense. Chase Roberts on offense, Keanu Tanavasa on defense. I think those guys will be the leaders.
No disagreement there. I only picked one. I just went straight up with Keanu Tanavasa.
Yeah.
You spend about 3 minutes with him and you're like, okay. You're clearly the guy.
You're the guy.
You're the guy for BYU football.
You're the guy.
Leading emotionally and will do so physically on the field when you see how imposing he is.
Okay, best cheerleader / teammate. Like, this is the support guy.
Okay, to me, this is the guy.
They can play. They can be a starter.
Chirping on the sideline constantly, like, hyping up their side of the ball. One clear answer to me.
Me too.
It's Trey Alexander.
We love Trey. Trey is awesome.
It's Trey. He's what do you want to call him? A yell leader, a cheerleader, best teammate, most exuberant.
He's a bird.
He's got his team's back.
I love it.
And he lets everybody hear about it constantly.
He brings Georgia to Provo. That's what I'll say.
He brings joy to the sideline.
Absolutely. He's fun to listen to.
Yes, Trey Alexander. Those are our pre-training camp awards.
Let's revisit those later and be like, did we nail it? Did we miss it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where we were right and where we were wrong. Yeah, I love that.
There'll be a lot more on the Run Pro Probably.
All right, when we come back, more responses from you to our question of the day. What do you feel like you know about BYU football? And who deserves our rise and shout out? There are a few great nominees for today. Stay with us on BYUSN.
The best of BYU Sports Nation will be back after this on BYU Radio. Get caught up in the week in Cougar Sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Hey, follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. You'll see plenty of Brandon Doman on those outlets today.
Strong opinions from Brandon. If you missed it, go back and check it out. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation. I am Jerem. He is Dave. Let's get to today's headlines.
Football practice continues on campus as they get ready. Close to wrapping up day three. BYU TV will have the latest news and information from camp throughout the month, all leading up to Portland State later this month.
They're practicing as we speak. They're going to wrap up in about 20 minutes. Safety Tanner Wall has been named to the All-State Werfel Trophy Watch List, an award given to a player who best combines exemplary community service, academic excellence, and athletic achievement. He is absolutely the number one person for this from BYU. He's fantastic.
Parker Kingston, named to the Paul Horning Award Watch List. There's a lot of watch lists. This is given to the most versatile player in college football. Yeah, I think he fits that mold.
He actually the best passer on the team.
Threw a touchdown, caught a touchdown, took two punts back for touchdowns. That's versatility with a capital V.
He has more passing touchdowns than any of the three BYU quarterbacks. He has three.
Yeah.
They have zero in Power Four.
Is he fifth on the depth chart? Also, a moment ago, Will Farron named a Lou Groza watch list for the best kicker in the country, which I think he is.
Yeah, absolutely. Delaney Gibb will represent Team Canada in the 3x3 Women's Series in Edmonton this weekend. She tells me this is her debut.
She
hasn't been with the 3x3 team. She's been with the full 5-on-5 national team. Best of luck to Delaney.
Trevin Nell also playing in Edmonton as part of one of three teams representing the United States. He's playing for Team DC. It's his second game for USA 3x3.
USA Track and Field Outdoor Championships currently being held. Number of Cougars, former and current, competing. Casey Klinger, 6th in the 10K. Megan Hunter, 21st in the 800. All four steeplechase runners advanced to the final. Kenneth Rooks, James Corgan, Courtney Wayman, and Lexi Halliday-Lowry.
Former baseball star Jackson Clough of the Rochester Red Wings homered and tripled last night. They got beat by the Charlotte Knights.
Who cares? They
also finished with three runs batted in on a spectacular Thursday for Clough.
And women's soccer will hold its blue and white game tomorrow night, 9 Eastern on ESPN Plus and at Southfield. This is the first official athletic event for the 25-26 season.
Let's go. Lights will be on. It'll be something.
Wait. After the break, our conversations with Fessy Satake and Cody Hagan as we preview the receivers as BYUSN continues.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
Near side it is. Isaiah Glasker picks it off. Catch made by Chase Roberts.
Oh my goodness! He's gonna go!
There is a way!
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. To my left sits Jerem Jordan, and just across the way is the voice of the Cougars, Greg Rebel, to help us discuss what we feel like we know about BYU football heading into day one of training camp.
The BYU football testimony meeting, Greg. We're saying what we feel like we know about BYU football.
What you believe to be true.
Exactly.
What do you feel confident in saying that you know about the identity of this BYU football team and maybe some specifics after that?
I know that BYU is a power conference football program.
Yeah.
In every way. And that may seem like, but they look, act, feel, play like that kind of program. And it didn't take them long to get there. Mm. 2 years into this, and you can say BYU is right at home in a power conference setting, competing with beating you know, established football programs who've had years and years of headway or a lead time on BYU. That to me is one of the most important things, that BYU settled in and looked and acted like a power conference member really quickly.
What else do you feel like you know?
I feel like there are enough people around the one unknown position going into full into training camp that whoever occupies that position can feel confident about his ability to succeed, no matter who it is. I feel they're good enough around him. And then defensively, with Jay Hill back and a lot of the personnel back, I think whoever that new quarterback is, he'll have as much help offensively, and the team will have as much of a buffer defensively to kind of compensate and mitigate for that one key element of novelty in 2025.
Amen, and special, amen.
And special teams on top of that. You bring back key components there. Again, for not desiring to have this situation be what it is, the uncertainty at quarterback, that being the case, BYU is as well equipped as it could possibly be to withstand the rigors and challenges and trials of breaking in a new quarterback here in the space of a month.
Let's talk about that quarterback.
We will never arrest him.
Let's talk about that quarterback competition specifically. What aspects of the battle that will ensue are you most interested in watching as we get to view practice and watch how this thing develops through training camp?
We've got a couple of guys with starts, right? Trayson's had 8. McKay's had 4. And then you have Bear Bachmeier with 0. Emerson Gunnelman, let's not discount him. He's a sharp-looking kid and player and person in every way. But let's say there's a top 3 today. You know, it's interesting. Both McKay and Trayson, in their time already at the FBS level, have a completion percentage in the 50s. Neither one's hit 60 yet. McKay's got more touchdown passes. Trayson's got the better touchdown to interception ratio. You know, people think of McKay as the runner and Trayson as the more pocket guy. But, you know, if you want to break it down, yards per carry, rushing touchdowns, Trayson actually has the edge over McKay there.
McKay's that is interesting.
More, yeah, and people, yeah, a little more mobile. They think of the smaller McKay and Trayson a little more statuesque. But I think Trayson can move around too. I've seen clips of him getting upfield when he has to. So among the two guys with returning experience, you know, contrasting numbers in a few ways. No one really jumps out as a leader there. And then you bring in Bear, and I guess the biggest question to me would be, how much can he do in the space of 3 or 4 weeks, and maybe only 3 when you think about naming a starter and how much can he do to say that I'm in the mix for this thing? Because if he is really in the mix, you've got a special player on your hands. You really do.
Yeah.
To do as much as he would have to do. To pass up guys with some experience, we would say a lot about him. So I'm genuinely and absolutely in every way intrigued about what we're going to see over the next few weeks. I think it's a great storyline. It's the storyline, really, going into camp. I think it's fun to watch.
And our anticipation is that they will not name one in camp. They will just go into game day with this.
They'll certainly, by the time they get to the final week, they'll be having their guy getting reps.
I mean, publicly, they'll keep
that. Yeah, but they'll have about 3 weeks to nail down the guy, if that's going to be the case. And so these 3 weeks will be very intense. Every snap and pass will be charted, and it'll be a really fun thing to see. I think whoever comes out of it, I feel good with any of them.
And typically, that guy reveals himself. It's not like, we have no clue. It's like, no, so-and-so had the edge. And so I'm looking forward to all the fans overblowing every little clip that gets out on social media, which would be really fun. What position battles are you intrigued by this fall camp?
I think the number 3 wide receiver. Want to see who jumps out to be. If we presume that Chase and Parker are the 1-2, who becomes that number 3? I want to have 6. I want to have 2 deep at the 3 wide receiver spot. So I want 6 guys you feel like can be game ready. At offensive line, I think you've already got 6. I want 7 or 8. So who becomes offensive lineman 7 and 8? The Carson Ryan tight end thing, what a great find for BYU. That kind of settles the position there. There's depth behind him, but you expect Carson to kind of be the man. Running back room, we understand Hinkley might actually be making his way back around. But either way, if your big 3 is LJ and Sione and Pokai, 3 great contrasts and talent and ability, feel good there. Quarterback, we've kind of addressed already. Defense is full of potential. I love the linebacker spot. I think offensive line and linebacker spot give you, I think, the most combined starts at the positions, offensively and defensively. I feel good about the depth at both. I think the number 3 linebacker will be a battle probably between Che and Siale. See who emerges there alongside Glasker or middle of Glasker and Kelly. Defensive end. Logan Lutui probably has the most actual rep time with BYU, But, you know, Tausi Liakana becomes this interesting kind of name under the radar. And there are others at the end position. I think inside they kind of feel like with Kirkland and Keanu, you're kind of set with two guys with experience, but you want some depth behind them. And DBs, you know, Jacob Robinson got a lot of well-deserved pub, but there are guys that got a lot of reps behind him, between Bamba and Alexander and Dunlap. And
Evan Johnson.
And Evan Johnson. Those are three guys who have had, you know, meaningful snaps. And I know I love the safety spot with Tommy and Sila and Faletau with Alfrey and Wall.
Those loaded.
Are four good guys right there. So I think I covered the whole team.
That's his special teams while you're at it.
And not to mention, when you bring back a Vanderhaar and a Farron and you get a Grimes as a snapper, it's just there's a lot to like about this team. Day one, there's a lot to like.
Greg Rubel is on BYU Sports Nation. As he mentioned, it is day one of BYU football training camp. I have a question about who fills the leadership role with the departure of Jake Retzlaff. I feel like Keanu Tanevasa is clearly that guy on the defensive side, vocal and just maturity and his skill set. But who can be that guy, vocal and showing that what he does on the field for the BYU offense?
Yeah, I think the guys they brought to Frisco are the guys they expect to be leading out in this thing. And then you add to that whoever your starting quarterback is, who I think has to be a leader. So by default, that guy has to be one of those guys. I think you add that quarterback to the guys they brought to Frisco. Others will emerge naturally.
LJ and Chase.
The leadership group, on the opposite, the leadership group will be larger than just the captains. But those things, I think, emerge through reps and then through game time. But you want your quarterback to be a guy that has leadership ability and capability and comes out naturally.
What are you excited to sort of figure out in training camp as much as we can? Because certainly, ultimately, the games dictate that. But what are some questions or intriguing things you're watching?
Yeah, I think I hit on a couple already. I want to see who jumps up to be that next wide receiver after Parker and Chase, if you want to throw that in.
So let's talk specifics. JoJo Phillips, Cody Hagan.
Tiger Bachmeier.
Yeah.
Reggie
LeMason Waller is a name that could be somebody as well. Yeah. I think of that group, who becomes the next? Because you're going to need three wides. Three potential starters there. Now you want depth behind them. So I think, again, I want six that you feel good about, but who's the big three? And then the offensive line. Again, just another couple of depth spots at offensive line, because I think they have six starters for five spots right now. And then defensive end. I think I want to see who become the major rotators at defensive end.
What is most sustainable from what BYU did last year? Because if they can create the amount of takeaways they did last year, the quarterback will have less on his shoulders. Jake had less on his shoulders in terms of, we need you to make a play. There were times where he did, and was great. But the defense and Jay Hill, if they can approximate that, we're in business.
Yeah, I think the most sustainable thing is on the defensive side, because you have your coordinator, you have your system, and you have a lot of your personnel back, and you had so many stellar national rankings. The only area they lagged in was TFLs and sacks. And I have to probably, you know, not focus too much on that, knowing that Jay Hill gets the results in all these other areas without a huge TFL and sack number. And they didn't need those huge TFL and sack numbers to be great on defense. But if he's able to squeeze more out of those two categories, does that not make your defense better if everything else stays the same? So I would say steady she goes defensively if you can just get a little more pressure on it, because pressure on the quarterback always helps. And TFLs are negative plays. Those are off-schedule plays. Those always help. So if you can get a little more of those, buttressing what you've already got, how great can this defense be?
I wonder how many would-be sacks were intercepted. Maybe it was a good thing you didn't have a sack on certain plays.
Hurries don't really get put into that TFL sack number, but they're a big part of what they do.
Yes.
But I think the more you can get to the quarterback, the more you can make a negative play, the better. Offensively, so many good things happened, but they were a little more to the middle of the pack, whereas the defense was at the upper tier. The defense was up here. The offense was more or less here. There were some shining numbers. I think their fourth down number was actually exemplary, which is kind of funny because the third down number was very low.
Yes.
If you could bring that third down number up, and I know that A-Rod looks at third and fourth downs together, kind of as a package stat.
Yep.
He doesn't want to throw it all on third down because we're planning for four plays. If we don't get it on third, I've got something for four. And they were really good on four last year. But I think bring the third down number up a little bit would be a goal. And red zone touchdown percentage, bring that number up a little bit. The scoring number was okay, thanks in part to Will Farron being so accurate when you get down deep. But if they can bring that red zone touchdown number up, that'll help BYU greatly.
Aaron Roderick has made it very clear that he has at least two notable love languages when it comes to picking a quarterback: ball security and red zone efficiency, which you just talked about. Is it as simple as saying whichever quarterback does those two things in training camp, will be the starter?
It wouldn't be too far afield to say that. And I think he likes mobility as opposed to lack thereof. Now, I'm not saying you've got to be a 70, 80 rushing yard per game guy, but I think if you're not able to move out of the pocket and make plays on the run, that probably pulls you a little back, I think, in terms of A-Rod's. I think A-Rod really wants that to be part of his package.
Yeah.
Again, he's not asking for Taysom Hill, but I think he is asking you to be someone that can provide a threat when needed.
There is a quarterback who's 6'2 and 230 on the roster, just saying.
And if you watch his stuff, clearly, he can move around and lay a hit, not just take a hit and lay a hit. And so, again, how quickly can he get up to speed or even be in a position to pass guys who are older with more experience at this level? That'll be a really intriguing storyline.
Wouldn't be shocked to see him go in a goal line situation, frankly, with his frame.
Yeah, I love it. There's so many fun options right now. And again, I think whoever gets it, BYU is going to be in good shape. I'd love them to be in great shape at some point, but they'll be good. And I mentioned Tiger a minute ago, the other Bachmeier. He also brings you competition at the return spots for Parker Kingston, which is great too. Parker's really good, as we know. Tiger was, I think, Stanford's leading kickoff and punt returner last year as well too. So you've got some more options there. I don't want to leave special teams totally behind. That'll be a fun battle to watch too, is who will be the returners they trust most.
And last but not least, the first broadcast of the fall is coming up Saturday night.
Women's soccer on Saturday.
Blue and white scrimmage.
So this
Let's
morning
go,
I was out at soccer practice, then cruised and saw the guys working at football. So it's happening. It's all here. We got a soccer game coming up on Saturday night. We get to see Jen Rockwood's Cougs for the first time. Really deep, really fun team coming up there, too.
Can't wait.
Great stuff. Thanks for hanging out
Always
with us.
Always great to be with you. Thank you.
Let's watch some football and some football.
We'll see you in a few minutes.
We'll practice field. We will see you there.
That'll be awesome. As Greg mentioned, coming up Saturday night, 9 Eastern on ESPN+, the blue and white scrimmage. The first look at the 25 women's soccer team. Can't wait. Coming up Saturday night.
After the break, an update on Cougars representing Team USA and which incoming Coug just won an MVP award. Headlines loaded after the break on BYUSA.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
Sports Nation continues live from Studio B, and we have moved over to the big wall because we have a big conversation forthcoming. That of the pre-training camp awards.
No one else has given these out, I don't think.
We have 7 different categories, and let's go ahead and start right at the top, Jerem. The BYU football training camp MVP in 2025 will be who?
Whoever the quarterback is. They won't name who it's going to be, but we have some AI imagery. Don't look too close. You start to see it gets weird, but that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
What is BXU?
I don't know. That's an alternate version of BYU, I guess. BYU Idaho's like, we'll take that.
This is Star Wars language down here.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that a defensive player can win MVP very easily because they don't full-on tackle, Spence. If they did, then Isaiah Glasker or Jack Kelly would probably win it. I think it would be a guy like Chase Roberts. Now, my dark horse is one of the kind of next crew of receivers, like a Reggie Frischneck or a Tay Nakua type, maybe even Cody Hagan, who will make plays. Because you need highlights to be remembered. And so what sticks out at fall camp typically? Offense.
Well, I'm leaning on an offensive player, and I'm leaning on the guy I feel like the quarterback will have to lean on for training camp and much of the season. That is LJ Martin.
I just don't think when they're just thudding a lot. They're not full-on tackle. That we don't get to see the actual run. So I think it's hard for him to sort of.
Can he do enough? Can he have enough breakaway runs?
Well, yes, because they're not going to tackle. They're going to thud.
I think also he'll look the part, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. He looks bigger and stronger, and he says he's faster than he's ever been in his time at BYU.
Love that.
So that will play into it a little bit, how he's perceived just from reporter to person, like, oh, LJ Martin looks the part. That also feeds into the psyche of this. So yep. I hope he is the MVP. I hope he's so good in camp and the coaches are talking about him, because BYU is going to need to rely on him a lot.
Yeah, so whoever wins will get this AI-generated trophy. Congratulations.
BXU.
To them. Okay, game-ready shape guy who looks the part, as you just mentioned.
I'm going with the Renaissance man, Jack Kelly, the BMX bike rider, late night hooper,
mustachioed,
incredible vertical leaper. Just that dude will show up day one and people will feel like he is physically imposing.
He just won't pop because he always looks like this. He didn't suddenly probably put it. Oh, nice. Nice. Just get in the weight room. At least it's BYU this time.
Kind of looks like Isaiah Glasker.
It kind of does look Isaiah. It's a veiny Isaiah Glasker right there.
Yes, you're right. Jack always does look the part, but I'm going with consistency there. Okay. Like, he's game ready now. Game shape ready right now.
Oh, we know that.
Doesn't need training camp. He's already there.
Give me Mori Bamba.
Ooh.
Tall, long, fast corner who is strong, who can do it all.
Okay.
Mori Bamba.
Okay.
One of the fastest guys on the team.
Okay, the next, I love this one. Okay, our third category.
I remember creating this
yes,
one.
Yes, this is a Jerem Jordan creation. The, and I quote, oh yeah, that guy award, okay? Suggesting somebody you may have forgotten that is on the roster.
Number 32, fittingly Dennis Pitta's number. Oh yeah, that guy. I'm actually going to go off the board just a touch here of where you think I'm going.
Okay.
I think it's going to be Will Ferentz.
Oh!
Because, yes, we love and know Will Ferentz legit, but we're going to be watching the offense and defense and suddenly go, oh, yeah, there's an All-American right there.
Yeah, BYU has an All-American Ferentz. Kicker.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that All-American guy.
Okay, I like that.
Because we don't watch them kick a ton.
Like that line of thinking.
Yes.
I'm going to give you somebody who caught a touchdown pass in 2022, Jerem. And we were all
Ethan Erickson!
We were all very excited. About,
yes!
Ethan Erickson is still on this team.
Yes, he is. Coming off a foot injury. He's healthy now.
And he has been beleaguered by injuries. He just hasn't been able to stay on the field. It's been a run of bad luck. But I talked to him. He's like, no, the karma wheel's coming back around. I feel like I can contribute. Carson Ryan's the clear
He's tight end
leader.
Tight end two.
Ethan feels like he can be that guy.
I like that.
And if he can stay healthy, I think he should be. But, yeah, he's still on the team. Oh, yeah, that guy.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Most improved player.
Ooh. I hinted at this earlier. I think Siale Asara deserves that nod.
That's a good one.
Siale,
I like that one a lot.
Is a great player, and he did some nice things late in the season when he was granted a bigger opportunity.
Even as a freshman. That pick against TCU.
Yes.
Yes.
He's thrived in his limited moments, but based on what the coaches are saying, what I have seen, my own interactions with Siale,
He was on the cruise.
I feel like he is the most improved player for BYU, and that's saying something. We thought he was good. I think he's great now.
And let's be honest, your junior year is really when you pop. If you do something as a freshman and sophomore, that's pretty notable. It takes people a long time. As an offensive lineman, it takes 3 or 4 years sometimes, which is crazy. But linebacker, now's the time for Siale. Give me Cody Hagan, off-the-radar receiver, big-time Utah Gatorade player of the year out of high school at Corner Canyon.
Yeah.
Mission, kind of special teamer last year, had 3 catches for 29. I think he's going to be in the 10 to 20 catch space and have 200-plus receiving yards. He's going to be kind of option 4, 5, 6 at receiver.
I feel like
maybe
Cody
special
Hagan,
teamer too, kick return.
I love the comparison to Gunnar Romney. I think he is that guy for BYU.
I like that a lot. Gunnar was a little taller, and Cody's faster.
Yes, but same type
Similar,
of
but
very
different.
Technical receiver, great hands. I'm excited to see what Cody Hagan can become. Greg Wrubell talked about, can Hagan emerge as the number 3 or number 4 receiver for BYU football?
And don't forget about kick return is open.
In training, yes, he with his speed.
Yep.
Yeah, great point. All right, on to the top freshman of BYU football training
I'll
camp.
Give you my top one, but I've got like 5 dudes I'm
I have
talk
one on
about.
Defense and one on offense.
Okay. Give me Nakitu Okoye, potentially getting some reps as a backup guy at middle linebacker for Siale, potentially. Now, Brian Strother might be like, hey, I'm right here too, but they love Naki. Redshirted last year, kid from Oakland.
Yes.
They're stoked about him.
Listen, Naki was one of the top prospects in the entire state of California.
Big time.
The recruiting list, like the offers that he had, he's a legitimate 4-star player for BYU. I feel like he's
overcome a ton.
He's almost a forgotten commodity.
But not here.
No, we are casting a light on Nakitu Okoye. I agree with you. Like this is the first time we have like clear agreement. Naki Tuokwe on the BYU defense, I feel like, is the top freshman. I'm going to give some love to LaMason Waller.
Okay, wide receiver.
He made some noise in spring football. Bessie Satake was high on what LaMason brings. I think that he's a guy that with the, you know, the second or third team reps he gets, he's going to make some plays, and people will be talking about what he could do for BYU.
Other guys I want to bring up, Hunter Clegg, big-time get off
of Mission.
Went to Armenia, by the way, Georgia. Cool stories from him about his mission there.
Yeah, don't say, I went to Georgia on my mission.
Yeah, it's well, like, oh, not that Georgia.
The other Georgia.
The best of BYU Sports Nation. We'll be right back. Rise and shout for the trending topics of the week here on the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Next on BYUSN, football is back. First official practice underway today. What do we feel like we know about this BYU football team heading into training camp? The voice of the Cougars, Greg Rebel, joins the show and discusses his thoughts on BYU football's upcoming season and what he knows.
Tis the season to hand out pre-training camp awards like MVP, game-ready shape guy, and the top freshman this season. And John Rothstein said it's what or bust for BYU men's basketball?
We live in a world of great expectations. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Wednesday, July 30th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who enjoys a good summer Christmas, Jerem Jordan.
1 month away. Yesterday was Christmas Day for the players. They get all the gear for training camp, which is exciting. So here's a video featuring a bunch of guys, starting with Parker Kingston.
These are hard. These are actually tough.
Got that triple, boy.
Hey, so nice on the feet, though, for him.
We drippy out here, baby.
Somebody help JT, man.
Hey, man, we got the best equipment people in the world, man. Love y'all.
John Talmoy-Peo ending up there with Keanu Tanavasa. Those are the Nike-looking Crocs, which are called Nike Comfort Ride and Aqua Swoosh. So there you go. Would you rock those? Would you wear those? I think I would.
I could see you wearing
those. I'd like to try them on. Yeah. They look comfortable. I'm not Crocs guy.
Neither am I. Yeah. And that's why I hesitate. I've never been Crocs guy. And so I see those, I'm like, I don't know if I can do it. But Nike typically makes comfortable things.
Does Nike change it for you?
A little bit. We're a Nike program here at Brigham Young University.
The athletic department is. I don't know if engineering is.
I don't know. You know.
That's very specific to athletics, by the way. Like the math department is they could buy their own. It's the athletic department.
The math department is New Balance.
They might. I don't know. I don't know. We'd like to be Nike over here in broadcast.
What's the air accountant? Who makes that shoe?
Yeah, history. Who knows?
I can see you wearing those. You wear the Hey Dude shoes. But
yeah, I like Hey
for
Dude.
Whatever reason, those specific shoes, I'm like, do I have to be under 30 to wear those?
Are we too old now?
Maybe. I might have graduated to not being able to pull those off.
And then when we get older, we put on the temple slippers, you know? Those are the shoes of choice here.
Oh, happy for the players. It really is Christmas in July for all of us because football is back. So rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending. Emotional leadership.
Newcomer assimilation.
How much of a rebuild is it?
The Big 12. It's one of the best quarterback leagues.
Who is going to be the starting quarterback? Treyson Borgay, McKay Hillstead, or Bear Bachmeyer?
This is a true quarterback competition, and the best guy's going to come out of it.
Let's watch football, shall we? And we will have at least a few highlights to dramatically overreact to in a few hours and tomorrow.
We know the starting quarterback based on these three clips tomorrow.
It's one of my favorite times all year. As we reported, camp report was yesterday.
Yeah.
The official practices begin today.
They're practicing as we speak, right now.
I love it. Let's go BYU football. Send us one of those highlights so we can overreact. Heading into camp, Jerem, what do you feel like you know? I know this thing about BYU football.
Yeah, I didn't say it. I declared it. I'll give one, you give one, and go back and forth. How about that? I believe we know that BYU is again motivated to overcome the odds and expectations.
Oh, yes.
The Jake Kretzoff situation certainly and his transfer certainly changed things for the expectations of BYU. It's not just about how good of a quarterback Jake was. It's about the experience that he brought. You just can't recreate that. Whoever starts for BYU will either be – it'll be their first snap at BYU of the three. And for the two that have played in college football before, McKay Halstead, Tracy Borgay, it'll be over 600 days for both of them since they played in a game. So I think we know that. They want to be in the Big 12 title game. It does depend, to me, on a lot of things, but mainly QB play. Like, if you can recreate the turnovers and you can have a good defense, special teams again, you put yourself in position to perhaps challenge for that. My concern, though, is there are too many teams in the league. There's all these dumb tiebreakers. Even with the good team last year, BYU didn't make the Big 12 title game. That's difficult. But I believe we know this team is properly motivated.
Mm. I love that because BYU thrives in that scenario, typically. I'll add this to your quarterback note. We know that the public will not know who the starting quarterback is until the opening offensive series of game number one.
I would love to be wrong on that. Like in 3 weeks, they're like, hey, it's so-and-so. But
I'm very confident we will not know who the starting quarterback is until the offense trots out on the field for the first time on August 30th.
We do know it's going to be one of these three guys. That's what we know. We don't know which one of the three.
That is a known entity as well. Wow. I'll add this. On the defensive side of the ball, Jerem, I believe BYU has the best linebacking core. I know it, in fact, in the entire Big 12 Conference. Mm-hmm. I am confident in saying I know that they have the best linebacking group in the entire conference, led by Jack Kelly, Isaiah Glasker, and you and I have spoken about the emergence of Siale Asara. And
big year for him.
Buying into what basically every BYU football coach has said to us over the last month, that he has gone next level and he has shown drastic improvement. He has muscled up. He has slimmed down. He is faster. He is stronger. There are coaches that think he might lead the team in tackles. I would love that.
I like when my middle linebacker leads the team in tackles. 100%. I don't want it to be a safety. And BYU rotates their safeties too much for one guy to really put up a huge number.
The experience in that core. You think about the big-time plays that Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker have made, and even Siale in the Alamo Bowl. We got a taste of what he is capable of.
Yeah.
So
those onion rings were good.
Yes.
Whatever your preferred appetizer is.
As we said earlier in the week, the proof is in the Oreo pudding with chunks, not the pistachio pudding.
Pistachio, you weirdo.
Not the pistachio.
Too fancy, dude. Too bougie.
But the proof is in the pudding. Those guys have shown me enough at a consistent rate for me to believe that they're going to show up and be awesome again.
Okay, next one. Jay Hill's scheme is better than the personnel. I know this. No matter what group he has, he will elevate the group. So if the group's great, he'll make them even greater. If they're meh, he'll make them good. I think this is a good to very good group. I think he can make them great, just like last year's group was. Because you think about it, BYU wasn't good at sacks. They weren't off the charts at third down stops. They were great at havoc. They were great at specifically takeaways, which is the best thing you can be good at.
22 interceptions?
22, 29 takeaways. I mean, you're number one with Texas, who, by the way, had the same number as BYU, but they played, I think, one or two more games, right? Because playoff, because SEC championship game. So BYU interception per game, pretty good, right?
The per game average, a little
better. The per game average, that's what matters. BYU lost seven starters on defense, but Jay Hill rotated a lot of guys through. So it's not like Tommy Prassis and Falatau Satuala backing up Tanner Wall haven't played. They played a lot. Raider DeMooney / Talon Alfrey. Evan Johnson, Maury Bamba played a bunch last year. They'll be ready at corner.
Siale Asara.
It's really the defensive line of like John Taumoipeo. You got to play a lot now. Keanu Tanuvas obviously played at Utah. But I'm excited to see what these guys can do. And I believe in Jay Hill. And I think it's great. The Jay Hill's of BYU, because one day he won't. He's too good. We won't have him forever. We will not have him forever, obviously. Enjoy the time where Jay Hill calls this defense. I hope it's for 5-7 more seasons. The reality is probably not. He's too good.
Let's keep the staff together as long as
possible. They kept the staff.
That continuity.
Yeah.
And Kelly Papinga, another thing that we know, has done an incredible job with the special teams. Specifically, I know that there are special playmakers on BYU's special teams.
This is a BYU football testimony meeting, I think. That's what this is.
Yes.
I know that, and I strongly believe that
Will Farron has a case to be considered as the best kicker in the entire country.
Preseason Magazine said he was.
How about that luxury for BYU football?
And Parker Kingston as a punt return.
Mm.
I would argue those two. Sam Vanderhaar does exactly what BYU needs as a punter. He's not Ryan Rico. He's not that guy. But he does what BYU needs. They have good net punting.
And there's always a few amazing trick plays.
Absolutely.
At the least expected times up the sleeve of Kelly Papinga,
creativity
which those guys
high.
Know how to execute. They've shown us that the moment's not too big
UCF
when those plays
field
are called.
Goal. Colorado onside kick.
The rush kick against Utah. You got to go. Time's running down, yeah. Right?
I don't want to talk about end of first half execution in against Utah or Kansas. But yes, yes. Okay,
We know. Parker Kingston, special returner.
Yeah.
Two punt returns for touchdowns.
And when he muffs it and then wheels around, that's when he's his best, actually. Mm-hmm. BYU has enough, I know, good Big 12 players and potential NFL dudes to be confident about 8 to 10 wins. As you mentioned, Will Farron is probably the best at his position on the team. Keanu Tanuvasa, at least in one mock draft, was a first-round potential kind of guy. That tells you where at least one mock has him. He is an NFL guy. Chase Roberts is one of the best receivers in the country. Jack Kelly, Isaiah Glasker, Parker Kingston. To me, those are the stars of this team. There will be others who will emerge, which will be exciting. L.J. Martin could be one of those guys. Mm-hmm. Is he a top five running back in the Big 12? You got to get 1,000 yards to me to start that conversation.
We'll talk about that a little bit more in just a second. In fact, let's go right there to the 1,000-yard mark. It has been 4 years since BYU had a 1,000-yard rusher. Tyler Allgeier was the last to do it. It's been 5 years since BYU had a 1,000-yard receiver. Dax Milne was the last to do it, and that was in the 2020 weird COVID campaign.
Right.
BYU, I believe, and I nay know that BYU has 1,000-yard potential at running back and wide receiver. Jerem, if the quarterback is a good enough game manager to get the ball into the best weapons that BYU has, specifically Chase Roberts and L.J. Martin, BYU could have a 1,000-yard receiver and running back in the same season. This is not something
had,
too crazy.
You gotta look at the, when's the last time they had both?
Ooh, in the same season.
Do we have to go back to the late 2000s? Like a Harvey Dennis year?
Maybe.
Or a Harvey
or
Austin
it,
year?
Or was it Jamal Williams along with, oh no, Mitch Matthews didn't ever
never
get to
got 1,000.
He never
we
got
always
to
debated
1,000.
About that with the elite thing because I said you got to get to
1,000. 942, I think.
Not good enough.
Well, close to 1,000, sure.
You. Love you, Mitch. But yes, to have it both. Do we feel like that's realistic given the inexperience and the newness of the quarterback? Are they going to be able to find a guy that many times to get 1,000?
It's going to be much harder for Chase.
Right. LJ, not so much. In fact, LJ has a better chance at 1,000 because of the quarterback situation.
You need to lean on him.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so 1,000-yard potential, certainly LJ leading that group. I know that BYU has the potential at both of those positions.
Yes.
It's a stretch to say that both could do it, but I feel strongly enough to say that I know that BYU will have at least one 1,000-yard performer this season.
Yes, I'm extremely confident with you. I agree. Okay, BYU might have the most experienced safety room in the nation. Let's talk about it. I talked about it a little bit, but at free safety, Tanner Wall, really experienced, cerebral, athletic guy.
He grades out, according to the BYU coaches, higher than any other player on the defense basically every week.
That makes sense to me. That's great. Tommy Prassis, Falatel Satua, a lot of talent and youth behind him who did play a little bit last year, which is great. Then Talon Alfrey and Raider DeMooney. Talon, 29 games played. Raider, 23. These guys will occupy that strong safety spot. Those five guys know what they're doing, and they're good. I really like that group. Crazy experienced on the back end. Whatever, you know, I like Maury and Evan at corner. You got Trey and Jaden and Dunlap and these guys at corner, kind of the backups. Whatever perceived inexperience that they may have, the safeties are there to clean up. Mm-hmm. I like that group, the experience and the talent of that group.
There is safety in the safeties.
In safety zone.
I'm going to add my final thought. This is the last thing that I unequivocally know, Jerem.
But would you say without a shadow of a doubt?
Without a shadow of a doubt. With every fiber of my being.
Do you remember in the on my mission, they're like, don't say these weird phrases.
I feel it in my bones. Somebody today, a coach, a player, a media member will say the following phrase.
Oh, let's go over that stuff.
Guys, we're really flying around out there.
Flying around. You put on 15 pounds of muscle. I want someone to be like, so-and-so put on 15 pounds of fat. Like, we are shocked at how this person showed up today.
Yeah. No. Listen, Robert and I is not coaching. He was the coach that would tell people that they were too fat for day one of practice.
I just thought of a specific player. I'll tell you off camera later. That he pointed out one time. Super mean. I was like, oh, gosh. Even if it's true, it's mean. Jeez. Yeah,
somebody didn't do their conditioning.
Someone will say, oh, is this the deepest team? Oh, the chemistry.
Yep.
Better than it, you know, all these phrases will happen today. But it's just a sign that we're closer to the game.
Guys are really flying around out there.
Oh, flying around.
Yep. I know that with every fiber of my being, somebody will say
we just
that.
Have to do our 111.
Have to.
Okay.
Oh, that too.
Someone tell them not to use these phrases. Come on.
Our question of the day. What do you want to add to this conversation? What do you feel like you know about BYU football heading into training camp? At Ben Peterson Answers on X, that they have coaches and players that have shown they can compete in the Big 12. I think that will account for a lot when they are trying to fill in the spots that are less proven to this point. We trust the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about that with Jay Hill specifically.
Yeah.
Look, there are some question marks, but you trust him to elevate whoever they have to plug in.
That's what a good coach does. And specifically in some of those positions, I'm looking at the ends like Lutui, Schoonover, Miley Kafusi, Puha, and so on and so forth. Like, who are those end rushers that will have an impact? BYU's not been as good at creating havoc with those guys. They ask their linebackers to make plays, and they do. That's sort of part of the scheme, right? But I'd love to see a DNT tackle just get in there a little bit more.
Come on.
And then
havoc.
Who are the backup linebackers? Hopefully they won't be used a ton, but who, you know, Miles Hall, Ace Kafusi, Che Bryan Strother, and so on and so forth. There are a bunch of guys. I'd like to kind of learn about that group, too.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Where does a guy like Naki Tuokoi factor into this thing?
Well, we're going to talk about Naki later.
Let's go!
I like Naki.
Let's go!
Yes. I didn't mention him just because he's a little on the younger side, right? But they like him a lot.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. We know some things about football. We also think we know some things about basketball.
CBS Sports' John Rothstein. He loves that him some BYU Cougars, man. Said the following yesterday about BYU men's hoops.
A Sweet 16 trip would be a disappointment for BYU. And I will also say this. BYU should dream to go to a Final Four. That feels like an attainable goal for the talent level in this program. But I will say this, anything less than a trip to the Elite Eight will be a disappointment this year in Provo.
Okay. Is that too steep an expectation? Is that fair? We addressed it a little bit yesterday, but let's open it up a little more.
My initial thought is, whoa! Like, we have just we went 0 to 60 in 2.4 seconds. Holy cow, John Rothstein just taking us there. But the technology is there in the car, and you have the driver in the car with Kevin Young to do that, to handle that acceleration and that type of performance. So I just think BYU fans and media members, me included, need to get used to this new era of BYU basketball. It's okay to have these expectations. It's a little scary, but it's okay.
We're scared because we don't want to get...
We don't want to be disappointed.
We don't want to love and get broken up with if it doesn't work out.
No, you know what? Let's live in the moment.
But guess what?
Let's live in the moment. You got 1 year with A.J. DeBonsa.
And here's the thing. I don't know that every year we're going to have this same rhetoric. It has a lot to do with A.J.
Yes.
It's the whole team, but if A.J.'s not there, I don't think we're saying the word Elite Eight or Final Four.
No, it has everything to do with what BYU did last year. And the addition of A.J. with the return of Richie. That's what John Rossi keeps talking about.
They did that without some of these guys?
Exactly.
What can they do with them?
That's why we're here.
What can Kevin Young do with a full offseason? And now he knows the league. He has a sense of what this is.
Yes.
He's been to Ames. He's been to Tucson and won. Now what?
I don't...
Can BYU challenge Houston? Can they be in that space? That's what we're talking about.
I'm not going to call the
season... I agree completely
100%.
With John.
So you feel like
but
the season
here's
would, be
the
a,
thing.
Would it be a failure?
I don't think the bust part. I do think I expect Elite Eight. Or bust? It's not a bust
That's
if it's Sweet 16.
That's too strong verbiage.
But listen, how many times do you have a guy like A.J. DeBonsa? We hope BYU has more A.J. DeBonsas. He may be the only one. We hope there's more. Don't get me wrong. But what if he's the only one all time? You got to use that year in a special way. The unfortunate thing is it is a single elimination tournament. So you could be upset, but you can do the upsetting too.
Mm.
But what if BYU is a 2 or 3 seed? We should expect them to go to the
They have set up the schedule to be in position to do that.
They want
to
be a top 4 seed.
They believe the analytics and the schedule and the talent is good enough to win enough of those really tough non-conference games, coupled with playing in arguably the toughest conference in America, will grant them that opportunity to be a 2 or 3 seed and be the favorite to not just get to the Sweet 16, but have a legitimate shot to get to the Elite Eight or beyond.
It's not a bust. Listen, if you lose in the first or second round, that's tough. That's really disappointing. But yes, Sweet 16, Elite Eight plus. Mm. And remember, earlier in the summer, Rothstein and Sean Farnham on this very program said BYU should expect to make the Final Four. They're that good.
He called it an attainable goal. Can we just marinate on the fact that one of the leading voices in college basketball is saying about BYU basketball, the Final Four is an attainable goal for BYU.
You can't literally invest in this team in the way BYU has and not expect greatness. BYU will be very good. We hope they're great. We hope they're great. And I think they very well could be.
It's a exciting. Steep expectation,
Let's enjoy the ride.
But BYU has the equipment to climb that mountain.
Yeah.
Right?
Let's go.
Let's make it happen.
They got the Sherpa, too.
All right. We continue on with this from ESPN's Myron Metcalf, who is reporting that a Hollywood producer wants to make a documentary about said BYU basketball team this season.
Hope dreams, question mark.
Apparently, it's not the only person. There are several.
I've been told there's a bunch of people
who have shown interest. This is not a shocker, folks. No.
They want to attach themselves to AJ and this group.
A quote from Metcalf. The buzz around BYU basketball has generated so much interest that a Hollywood producer has pitched a documentary about the 2025-2026 season to Kevin Young's staff. End quote. Would you want a documentary on this team for this specific season?
If it's not a distraction, yes.
I am concerned about that.
If it distracted the team and they didn't reach their full potential because there were cameras everywhere, well, sure. There's a certain TV station that would love to be involved with this. We happen to work there. But if there was something, that'd be cool. But what I like winning more than I like watching a compelling documentary about BYU. Does that make sense? So let's just let the boys win and enjoy the process. If there happens to be something like this, that'd be cool too.
I feel like Kevin Young and the staff have granted BYU Athletics internal folks enough access that after the season, they could still piece together
a
documentary.
They could turn something themselves.
And they're used to those people already.
It depends. I mean, there's always a number there if it's a lucrative opportunity and it's not going to be as big a distraction.
Yeah, the business side.
My sense, my guess would be that they will not do something like this.
Think about all of...
That they want to focus on the product and winning more.
And I am fully on board with that ideology.
Now, Brett Yormark does a rotating Hard Knock style season-long something or other, and he requires everyone to do it. That's now you don't have a choice. BYU has a choice in this. We'll see what they decide, but I would guess that they probably won't.
Methinks Kevin Young is too conservative to do something like that.
I think he focuses on winning more than anything.
But think about the cut. We all love the cut that is put out from BYU Athletics.
Those cameras are already in there.
Exactly.
They are not additional cameras.
It's happening. And all of the moments, the unforgettable moments like Dawson Baker being in the locker room, they're already set up internally to give us the access that we want.
Are we putting the pressure on our homies to just create more cuts, I guess?
They're ready
They're already doing it. Tyson
Hutchins, Stu Call, Maddie, Coy, they're all ready.
They're like, we already have a plan. What are you talking about?
Yes. We're good.
We've had the plan before AJ signed. We were ready for this. Exactly. With BYU football training camp underway, don't miss any of our interviews from camp with players and coaches. Go to BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel where you can find all our content on demand. We'll have interviews up this afternoon. We'll have interviews on the show. It's going to be awesome.
When we return, the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, joins the show and gives us his thoughts on what he knows about BYU football heading into training camp. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
Obviously, Chase Roberts is the alpha.
Jones. Roberts sliding with the catch. Chase is on the case, looking for JoJo. Touchdown!
JoJo Phillips is a guy who feels like he has a massive upside.
Yes, he does. We're live in Studio B with the day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play. Jerem Jordan alongside Blaine Fowler. Well, fifth-year senior Chase Roberts needs 216 yards to reach the 2,000 club at BYU. He'd be the 14th player to do it. Can't wait for that honor for him. Yesterday, after practice, I spoke with Chase.
Your last first day of school, if you will, of camp. What was it like?
It was awesome. You know, to be out here with my brothers, the whole off season, working hard, doing the gassers and all that, just coming out and seeing the hard work pay off and knowing that we love each other and that we have each other's back. I'm excited for the rest of fall camp and for the season.
What's a good day one look like, and was it good?
I think being able to be on the same page, I mean, that comes obviously with through fall camp, but being able to gain that confidence first day that, you know, we're gonna roll this off season and this fall camp and then roll into the season. And I think we did that. I think the quarterbacks were all awesome. They made a lot of good plays. We were on the same page, and I think we're just going to roll from here. It's been awesome.
How's the feeling maybe different for you in this position this season? Or maybe it's familiar from the last couple of years, or is it a little different as kind of a fifth-year guy, the leader of the receivers?
Yeah, exactly. I think you need to step it up. There's always, you know, more things that I can do as a leader on this team, especially in the receiver room. Being able to get everyone lined up, make sure we're in the right spot, little corrections after plays, and I think it's such an honor to be able to do that, and also to go out and make plays, you know, be the guy that sets the tone off the bat, makes some plays, and then gets us rolling when we do our team periods, and yeah.
I never got the official word of what happened in the bowl game with your injury. Yeah, what was it?
I just landed on my shoulder, tore my shoulder labrum, so I got surgery right away. It's been over 6 months, and I feel 100% ready to go, and we're out there making plays, feeling great, so we're good to go.
Remind me, right shoulder? Left shoulder. Yeah. Are you more of a left shoulder guy or right shoulder guy?
I think we're a right shoulder guy, so yeah, nice. We're good.
As a right-hander?
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. What is the next step for you? Because you've done so many things well for so many years now. Yeah. What's the next step?
I think just making sure our team's on board to win some games this year, and I'm going to do my part, make some plays, but also make sure everyone's doing their part. And just confident going forward. And also outside of football, make sure everyone's in the right mindset and right mentally, you know, and helping them through struggles and things like that. And I think that'll benefit our team the most.
Sometimes in fall camp or training camp, people don't realize it, but it's very offense versus defense. Yeah. The team is divided in that way. Uh-huh. Say a nice thing about the defense from today.
They made some plays today. I mean, you want to have your defense making plays. You want them to be the best defense that you face all year.
So not too often, though, right?
No. I mean, yeah, we want to make all the plays, of course, as the offense. But they're going to do some stuff, and they're a great defense, and I think it's the best defense we're going to face all year. So once we get into games, it's going to be easy.
Why do you hide the nice lettuce with the cap? Yeah, you want just smooth with the helmet? Because you got a nice flow in the back.
I sweat so much that I need something in my, like, hair to just soak everything up so it's not dripping in my eyes, dripping on my face mask.
I was going to say, you have nice hair, Chase.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Talk to us about the quarterbacks. What were the reps like with those three guys? Because obviously they want a fair shake with the ones and the twos and whatnot.
Yeah, I think everyone made plays today, and I think it's just getting out those first-day jitters, being able to keep making plays throughout camp, and I think a guy's going to start shining, you know, and that's what happens. That's how you choose a guy. One guy just starts stepping up, making plays, telling people where to go, and the people start trusting in them, rallying behind them, and we'll see who does that. I'm excited to see.
That takes some time.
Yeah.
And certainly you guys have had player-run practices or PRPs.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're familiar with the three? Obviously, McKay and Trayson were here in spring. Bear gets here later, and he's here in summer. But what is the familiarity with Bear and the other two?
Yeah, we had a lot of work in the off season when it came to, like, player-run practices, running through plays, getting ready for fall camp. I think we're very familiar with all of them. And now it's just getting the team all together, going against the defense, seeing who steps up in those moments. Because the pressure's on, you know, right? When the defense steps on the field and when the shots fire, it's a lot faster, a lot more tense, and you got to be able to calm down, get everyone calm, make plays, and move the chains. So I'm excited to see who steps up and does that.
I've noticed there's a lot of American Fort cavemen on this team,
yes,
on all three sides of the ball.
True.
Will there be a single play this year where there's not one on the field? Because I think there's enough on offense, defense, and then Garrison Grimes is on special teams as a long snapper.
I think there'll be an AFer representing every single play. So that's exciting. Actually, I never thought about that. But we'll always be on the field representing, so go Cavemen.
I think it's the most from any high school. It used to always be maybe Timpview or Lone Peak. Yeah. Lone Peak. That was probably tough for you.
I think we got seven or eight guys now. That's pretty good. So that's a lot.
What do you guys need to accomplish in the next month before Portland State?
I think getting the plays down, being able to hit on all cylinders, whether it's tight ends, receivers, O-line, getting the snap, all those just clicking. And I think that comes with time. That comes with getting that full speed, those full speed reps, and when the pressure's on. And day one, you're going to make mistakes, but I think if Portland State week, we're going to be firing.
How has your podcast 2-point conversion on BYU Radio helped you become a better football player?
Yeah, I think it's, when you focus on things outside of football and you have those in line, especially when you're aligned with, your religion and with God, I think it just rolls over into your play and your confidence on the field. So that's what I like to focus on outside, and then just step on the field and let whatever happens, and then trust in God that he's going to take care of me.
I just had a vision of you with like a little card that had like the logo of the show.
Yeah.
You catch a 2-point conversion, you sign it, hand it to the camera. Crazy promotional value,
perfect.
Right?
I'm going to do that. That's perfect.
Like Chad Ochocinco vibes.
Let's go. I'll have you provide the card. And then
I got
you. Okay, thank
we'll
you.
Well, thanks for the time. Best of luck with everything as we get going.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Go Cougs.
Oh, and who's the next guest on 2-point conversion?
We don't know yet. We still have to figure that out.
Let the spirit.
Oh, is it you?
Is it me? Oh, come on.
I think we're going to have, yeah.
I can't top John, by the way, or Hans Olsen. Those are good guests, man.
Guy, next guest on the podcast.
I got you.
Tune in.
There you go.
Hey, if Chase or Connor ask, I'll be there. You know that's the case. He is clearly one of the best receivers BYU's ever had, Blaine.
Yeah.
Do you think he gets 1,000 yards if he plays in all 13 games this year? Or is that too much to ask of a kind of newish quarterback in this situation?
It depends, because sometimes with a new quarterback, they get locked in on somebody that they really, really trust.
And maybe they just throw it to Chase.
They might just throw it to Chase every time. So there's so many weapons that they'll probably distribute the ball, and teams will start to try to take him away. So a lot depends on, can those tight ends inside, can Carson Ryan take some pressure off so they go, crap, we can't double team him every time. And they'll have to move him around, things like, can JoJo be so effective on the other side that they go, oh, we just can't dedicate personnel to Chase, he'll get 1,000 yards. If the others aren't productive and they can just double him up and shade him and do all those things, then it's harder to get 1,000 yards. So he's very capable of that, but it depends on the other guys taking pressure off. If he's the one guy, you can take that away.
I would love it if the quarterback felt like, if I don't know where to go, I can always throw it to Chase.
Chase would be my guy.
Yes.
Like, you always have that.
You know,
Max Hall had two guys.
Yes.
He had Austin Colley and Dennis Pitta.
And he could always throw to Harvey.
Are we allowed to say Dennis's name on here?
Yeah. We make time. So, I'm not anti-Dennis.
No,
we just run out of time.
But you always have to have at least one guy where you go, if everybody's covered, but this guy is singled up,
throw it.
I'll throw it to him.
Throw it.
Because he will never let it get intercepted, and he's very likely to make the catch.
Was that Glenn Kozlowski?
It was Glenn Kozlowski for us.
Nice.
Glenn will never let the ball get intercepted.
But off the field, you're like, let's not go to Glenn because he's nuts.
I like to hang out with him. He's very entertaining.
He's a very, very fun entertaining. He tried to kiss me on the show
a long time ago.
He's the only person to do that. JoJo Phillips, a likely and intriguing candidate to be a top three guy on this team. We're excited to watch him this year. We saw some real flashes, notable touchdown catches against Southern Illinois, Arizona State. He averaged 21 yards per catch last season. He spoke with Spencer after practice.
JoJo, first things first, let's rewind to report day because you get the swag bag.
Yes, sir.
So of every item that you received this year in 2025, what is your absolute favorite piece of swag?
I'll probably say the cutoff hoodie that we got. I feel like we haven't gotten that. Like, usually we have to cut our stuff to make one, so I'd probably say the gray cutoff hoodie. And then the backpacks and then the Nike, like, sandals that we got. Yeah. Those are super comfortable.
The Croc-looking shoes?
I put them on my house, and I was just walking around the house and, like, all that stuff. And I was like, these super comfortable. So, yeah.
Love that. It's officially football season when you get the bag and you get your locker.
I was saying, we got a big gear drop this year. So, it was nice for sure.
Taking care of you. And you see your locker. The emotions of a season start to flood back in. How is that for you when you walk in that locker room and transition to, okay, it's now officially football season?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It was just like, it's real. Like, we back basically, and like, I've never been excited to go to sleep like I was last night, because I was like, when I go to sleep, it's going to be ready to wake up. It's going to be football time, season time. So, yeah, it felt nice just coming down and just getting back with all the guys. We had meetings yesterday all day, but it was nice just filling in with all the guys in the team room and everything, just filling everybody back. So,
are you a night owl then?
A little bit. It depends. But I feel like this offseason, I've been doing a good job getting my rest and everything. But usually I am. Usually I can't go to sleep till like midnight, 1. So, but I've been getting in like 10:30, 11 o'clock between that time. So
it's like Christmas morning today, right? Okay, so let's talk about the Christmas morning, day one of practice. How do you feel like things went overall from an execution standpoint?
I feel like it was okay, I would say. Because I'm hard on us. I want us to be great and everything. But it was an okay day. We still got a lot of kinks to work out and everything. A lot of people just getting up on our playbook and everything, and obviously our QB situation. So it's just good, though. They all did good today. It's just everybody getting up to speed and gelling with each other again. So,
we'll ask you about the quarterbacks and that situation in just a minute. But let's talk about your offseason.
Yes, sir.
What did you specifically want to work on and get better at going into a big time year that you hope to have?
This year I really just worked on getting in and out of my breaks, my route running. I worked a lot with Coach Ray this off season, a lot, and then just getting stronger. I took the weight room way more serious this off season, I would say. Been preparing to take more hits and everything, and also I just want to be stronger and everything, I would say.
With that improvement, how do you see your role evolving and developing for BYU football this year?
I would say I'm going to be on the field a lot more. So worked on, like, my stamina, all of that. Just got out running every time during me and Coach Ray's workouts, he would push me after a rep, I'd get back up, go again. After a rep, like, go 3 reps in a row and everything, and then get my break. So, yeah.
JoJo Phillips is with us on BYU Sports Nation. You're a full-blown veteran at this point.
Yes, sir, I am. It's crazy. It went by fast.
At what point do the nerves of being in a stadium in a game go away? Because with that veteran status, the moment doesn't feel too big for you anymore.
No, yes, sir. I felt like last year, getting in and playing the way that I did, it kind of took away the jitters. Like, obviously, my first game, I was nervous and had jitters. But after that, it's just like regular football, and I felt comfortable in the games, going in during big time moments of the games and everything, and executing. And then this year, I know the first game I'm gonna have jitters, obviously, because it's the first game of the season, back in Lesson in front of our fans and everything. So, but I feel like I'm just more comfortable, I would say, with the playbook and everything, and just teaching the younger guys and everything, because I was in their shoes at one point. So,
working with Vesey Satake and this receivers group, what do you feel most confident in collectively the receivers' ability to do this year?
We're great. I feel like we're going to surprise people from all aspects of our offense, I feel like. Especially our first three, me, Chase, and Parker, I feel like we're really comfortable. Obviously, Chase and then me and Parker stepping up now, so I feel like we're going to be really comfortable in the roles that we have. And then behind us, Tiger, Reggie, and Cody, and everything, I feel like they're going to be comfortable too. Just getting up there, getting up to speed on the playbook and everything. And then Cody was here last year, so he's pretty good and dialed in on the playbook too now. So,
obviously, you want to get the ball as much as possible, and you work so hard to be able to get open. You mentioned the quarterback battle that has now officially started. From your perspective, what's the most intriguing aspect of watching this play out between Trayson and McKay and Bear?
I feel like they're all good. They all have their different unique ways, uniqueness that they approach the team, approach the offense, and just different ways that they throw the ball and stuff. But they're all great quarterbacks, and I feel like it'd be a fun QB competition, and I just can't wait till the season and everything. Just whoever wins out, it'd be great. I know out of the three, whoever wins out, it'd be great. So,
well, it helps to have a lot of weapons around whoever the quarterback is.
Sir.
You are part of that. Of the three quarterbacks, let's just do a little lightning round, and you tell me what each of the three, in your opinion, does best. Okay? Starting with Trayson Bourget.
Trayson, his leadership is very well. He's very vocal in the huddle, vocal to the team and everything, I would say. And then with McKay, I would just say like, he's like the same way. He's not as vocal, but he's I feel like he just brings like a common presence to the huddle and everything, and he can get the ball out. They're each good with getting the ball out. And then Bear, he's like, he's a little like goofy kind of, like he gets in the huddle. He says like different stuff that make you laugh, just lighten up the mood in the huddle when you get in there. And then, yeah, they all throw great balls though. And then, yeah, that's what I would say. They just bring like different leadership roles to it for sure.
All right, we'll finish with this as a final question. Where do you feel like BYU football needs to get better the most over training camp?
I'll just say just buying in, like getting the new guys that we have to buy in to the program and just keep building on the things that we did last season. And because we don't want to fall short of the two games and drop the two games we did last year. We want to go undefeated, make it to the Big 12 championship, win that, go to the playoffs and everything. So I'll just say just owning in on the things that we did last year and doubling down on it and getting the new guys that we brought in just more to buy in and everything, I'll say.
JoJo, it's great to have you at BYU. You're a veteran now. Let's go. Enjoy the cutoff hoodie and the Nike Croc shoes, whatever they're called.
No, yes, sir. Thank you for having me. It's great to play in front of Coug Nation, everything. You guys welcomed me in from day one, so it was great.
You got it. Thanks, JoJo.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, JoJo.
Yeah, JoJo is awesome. There you go. Catch all of our interviews, shows, deep blues, big stories, and more on the free BYU TV app and BYUSN.com.
Coming up, which Cougars were named to the Butkus Award watch list and which current former runners are competing in the USA Track and Field National Championship starting today. This is BYU Sports Nation.
We'll be right back with more of the best of BYU Sports Nation. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
Hey, follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. You'll see plenty of Brandon Doman on those outlets today.
Some strong opinions good from stuff. Brandon. If you missed it, go back and check it out. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation. I am Jerem. He is Dave. Let's get to today's headlines.
Football practice continues on campus as they get ready. Close to wrapping up. Day three, BYU TV will have the latest news and information from camp throughout the month, all leading up to Portland State later this month.
They're practicing as we speak. They're going to wrap up in about 20 minutes. Safety Tanner Wall has been named to the All-State Werfel Trophy Watch List, an award given to a player who best combines exemplary community service, academic excellence, and athletic achievement. He is absolutely the number one person for this from BYU. He's fantastic.
Parker Kingston, named to the Paul Horning Award watch list. There's a lot of watch lists. This is given to the most versatile player in college football. Yeah, I think he fits that mold.
He actually the best passer on the team.
Threw a touchdown, caught a touchdown, took two punts back for touchdowns. That's versatility with a capital V.
He has more passing touchdowns than any of the three BYU quarterbacks. He has three.
Yeah.
So they have zero in power four.
Is he fifth on the depth chart? Also, a moment ago, Will Farron named to Lou Groza watch list for the best kicker in the country, which I think he is.
Yeah, absolutely. Delaney Gibb will represent Team Canada in the 3x3 Women's Series in Edmonton this weekend. She tells me this is her debut.
She
hasn't been with the 3x3 team. She's been with the full 5-on-5 national team. Best of luck to Delaney.
Trevin Nell also playing in Edmonton as part of one of three teams representing the United States. He's playing for Team DC. It's his second game for USA 3x3.
USA Track and Field Outdoor Championships currently being held. Number of Cougars, former and current, competing. Casey Klinger, 6th in the 10K. Megan Hunter, 21st in the 800. All four steeplechase runners advanced to the final. Kenneth Rooks, James Corrigan, Courtney Wayman, and Lexi Halliday-Lowry.
Former baseball star Jackson Clough of the Rochester Red Wings homered and tripled last night. They got beat by the Charlotte Knights.
Okay.
They also finished with three runs batted in on a spectacular Thursday for Clough.
And women's soccer will hold its blue and white game tomorrow night, 9 Eastern on ESPN Plus and at Southfield. It's the first official athletic event for the 25-26 season.
Let's go. Lights will be on. It'll be something.
Wait. After the break, our conversations with Fessy Satake and Cody Hagan as we preview the receivers as BYUSN continues.
Join the conversation 24/7 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook using the hashtag BYUSN. The best of BYU Sports Nation rolls on after this. Get caught up in the week in Cougar sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. You can follow the program on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. I'm Jerem, he is Blaine. Time for today's headline.
Let's start with football practice beginning yesterday and will continue through the month. Here's what Kalani Sitake had to say to the media on the timeline of naming a starting quarterback.
Yeah, as soon as we can. I mean, I know that we can wait until the first game, but we'd like to get it sorted out as soon as we can. But, you know, that's you can't really put a deadline to it. It's not like we have to have this much done in day one, day two, day three. I just like to see them kind of go with the flow of the offense, and we can't just be all the focus is on them. We got a lot of different players that we need to get ready. We need to get our run game, get our O-line, get our tight ends and our receivers, everybody clicking. So that's going to have to be handled in the midst of everybody getting their part done too.
The quarterbacks need to go with the flow seems to be a theme. From the first day of practice. We'll have interviews and reaction to camp here on the show and on our YouTube channel, so check in with that every single day during fall camp.
Isaiah Glasker and Jack Kelly were named to the Butkus Award watch list given to the best linebacker in college football. They nailed it with that one. Those two absolutely should be on that list.
Yeah, and you know what? Backers, collection of dogs.
Dog.
Bunch of dogs playing linebacker. BYU basketball point guard Rob Wright was invited to the Chris Paul Elite Guard Camp. The four-day camp invites 12 student-athletes to participate. Wright will be involved in the camp until tomorrow.
Women's volleyball adds Elena Wallace to the roster. She's a grad transfer from Salt Lake Community College, also Tennessee Tech before that. Averaged 1.34 kills per set, hit 252 last season. Camp begins Monday for the Cougs.
Kihei Akina and BYU alumni Daniel Summerhays at Peter Quest, Cole Ponich, are all set to tee off in the opening round of the Corn Ferry Utah Championship today at the Ogden Golf and Country Club. The tournament plays through August 3rd.
Kihei Akina, by the way, right, is in the same sphere as A.J. DeBonta, Jane Hennengren, yeah, Sue Lee Davis, of these top freshmen coming into BYU.
In the
Unbelievable.
Country.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
in the country.
An amazing recruiting class across sports.
And USA Track and Field Championships start today in Eugene. BYU's three current or recent grads running on the men's side. Eli Haslett in the 400, James Corrigan in the steeplechase, Joey Noakes in the 10K. Five women's athletes competing, Sammy Oblad in the 400, Megan Hunter in the 800, Carly Hansen, Riley Chamberlain in the 1500, Lexi Halliday-Lowry in the steeplechase. Plus, you have alumni like Kenneth Rooks, Courtney Wayman, who are Olympians running as well. Best of luck to all the Cougs competing starting today through August 3rd.
BYU track and field and cross country, big time.
Dogs.
Yesterday, former BYU linebacker Max Tooley was waived by the Minnesota Vikings. Tooley had been playing for the Vikings since September of 2024.
Hopefully he gets picked up by somebody else.
He's good enough, he'll probably get picked up.
Coming up, we've addressed the quarterbacks and receivers today, but what about the defense? David Nixon defends after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Join the conversation 24/7 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook using the hashtag BYUSN. The best of BYU Sports Nation rolls on after this. Get caught up in the week in Cougar sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And these are your Tuesday headlines.
Great football reports for fall camp today. Meetings, swag. It is Christmas Day for the boys. Official practices begin tomorrow. We'll have interviews and reaction from camp here on the show and on our YouTube channel. Also, just in about 25 minutes ago, Jack Kelly, one of 60 players, 10 from the Big 12, on the Bronco Nagurski watch list. Awarded to the top defensive player from the Football Writers of Association of America. A little surprised we didn't see Isaiah Glasker or Keanu Tanuvasa, but cool for Jack Kelly.
It's watch list season.
Yes, it is.
BYU volleyball signees Leighton Bluth and Corbin Batista competed yesterday for the Team USA U19 squad against Brazil and lost in three sets. Bluth led the Americans in digs and receptions. Team USA, as we speak, competing against South Korea.
Speak Korean.
Fighting!
Nice. And that means?
It means fight.
Very nice. Women's soccer starts practice today as well. 2-a-days for the Cougs. BYU has an exhibition game with the blue and white scrimmage coming up Saturday night on ESPN+. Can't wait to watch the new addition at Southfield of this team.
On a more serious note, Colorado football head coach Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, spoke with the national media yesterday and revealed that he was battling bladder cancer during the offseason when doctors discovered a tumor. Serious business. He lost 25 pounds. The great news is his doctor reported Deion has since beaten the cancer, is in remission with no signs of cancer in his body currently. Coach Prime and the Buffs host BYU and both teams' Big 12 opener on September 27th in Boulder in a rematch of BYU's Alamo Bowl victory. Colorado coming off a 9-4 season last year and featured Heisman winner Travis Hunter.
Former Cougars Zach Blair and Patrick Fishburne competed at the 3M Open in Minnesota over the weekend. They both tied at 44th, 11-under, took home about 25K in earnings. Ooh. Nice weekend. Blair had an all-timer of a shot. Check this out.
The head cover. Back into the wind off the left.
All over it.
He likes it. Oh man. What a shot from Zach.
That's a ball mark right there.
1 inch from the hole.
That was amazing.
1 inch
that
away.
That was almost as good as what I saw from Happy Gilmore 2 over there on Netflix. Wow, congrats to those guys. And by the way, Cole Lindell did well at top five of the Colorado Open.
Oh, yeah, Carson Lindell?
Thank you. Carson Lindell.
Well, Cole Ponich and Carson Lindell have both been playing well. Former Cole Lindell Ponich.
That wraps up the best of BYU Sports Nation this week. Tune in next Saturday for the Cougar news you need to hear. And catch the BYU Sports Nation simulcast every day at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, on BYU TV and BYU Radio.